What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three here. And before we get to our guest here, I just received a very insightful email saying that if gender is our choice, why would anybody in a country like Saudi Arabia choose to be female? Good point there. All right, joining us on the phone right now is Robert Beardsley. And Robert, I wanted you on the show here because your brother told me this story about what's happening to you. This links back to the story we had about 2 weeks ago where there was this student who recorded a meeting with his principal and wound up being charged with felony eavesdropping. And it seemed a very bad application of the law. And you've had a somewhat similar incident happen to yourself. So why don't you tell us what happened?
Okay. I was accused of going 67 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone. As soon as I pulled over, I activated a handheld cassette tape recorder, which I carried with me in my car. When Deputy Page approached my driver's window, he saw the tape recorder, which I was not attempting to conceal, and advised me to turn it off. I refused, since I believed I had every right to record my own conversation. Deputy Page then asked to see my driver's license, but my response was to demand my right to counsel. The officer asked for my name, and I again repeated my demand for my right to counsel. Deputy Page then said, "Okay, you're going to get your right to counsel, but it's going to be at the McHenry County Jail." Deputy Page ordered me to exit my vehicle, and I complied while still holding on to my cassette tape recorder. Over the squad car radio, Sergeant Hunt was summoned, and Hunt arrived at the traffic stop after several minutes. Sergeant Hunt knew me from Woodstock High School, and he also demanded my driver's license, which I again refused until I spoke with counsel. Sergeant Hunt asked Deputy Page if he had radioed headquarters for my driver's license, but nobody was on duty in the records section of the Sheriff's Department due to the early morning hour. Sergeant Hunt then told Page to radio the Woodstock Police Department for information on a Robert Beardsley on Washington Street in Woodstock. After several minutes, Woodstock Police Department radioed back with all my driver's license information, including current address, date of birth, and the fact that I did have a valid driver's license. At this point, the officers had all the information they needed to issue me a traffic citation and have me sign it to be released. Instead, Sergeant Hunt said, "I can't understand it, Bob. You've got a valid license. You're just making it hard on yourself." During the course of the traffic stop, my car was searched, and they had me empty my pockets and discovered a bottle of prescription medication, which was for lithium, which I had been prescribed for depression. Sergeant Hunt then asked me if I knew what I was being arrested for. I said, "No, I don't." He said, "You are being charged with speeding and failure to display driver's license on demand. These were both non-arrestable offenses, and you just had to sign the traffic citation as bond." Arriving at the jail, I still had my tape recorder, and it was on as they were booking me into the McHenry County Jail. They had me empty my pockets onto the counter, and the jail deputy noticed the pill bottle among my possessions. The jailer asked me my name, and I again demanded my right to counsel. He responded, "Well, you're going to see the judge. She's here, and she might even let you go." The jailer hollered to Deputy Page, "Ronnie, what's the charges on this guy?" Deputy Page responded, "At this point, it's going to be speeding and failure to display driver's license on demand. I'm going up to see the state's attorney, and I'll let you know if there's any additional charges." The tape recorder was left on the counter the entire time, and at one point, a deputy standing nearby said, "He'll talk once he finds out what all the charges are." Shortly after, the judge, Susan Hutchinson, wanted to pass through the area, and they said, "It's all right. She can come through. We're here." Judge Hutchinson comes walking through, and you can hear the clicking of her high heels, and they exchange greetings. "Good morning, Judge." "Judge Hutchinson, good morning." After I was strip searched and put in the orange jail coveralls and placed in a solitary confinement cell, with nothing in it but a drain in the center of the floor with swirling water. Deputy Page came to the cell and handed me the paperwork for a felony charge of eavesdropping. The tape recorder was never listened to, and at trial, both deputies testified repeatedly that they did not know that the tape recorder was operating. After I had been in the cell a while, the jailer deputy, who I believe was Deputy Hearns, came to my cell and said, "I want you to know that I tried to take you in front of Judge Hutchinson for a bond hearing, and I said, 'What about Beardsley?' And she said, 'The hell with them, let them sit.' This was Saturday morning, and I remained in that cell with nothing but a tile floor and a drain all weekend until my bond hearing on Monday, January 9th. I was served no meals or anything, and I tried to sleep on the hard floor, but it was impossible, and I was thoroughly depressed all weekend. I didn't know if anybody, family or otherwise, knew where I was because I wasn't even allowed to make one phone call. After my trial, which lasted about a year because of pretrial motions, I was convicted by a jury and found guilty of speeding and eavesdropping, and I had represented myself. I made 22 appearances in front of 7 different McHenry County judges. After my conviction, I was at the McHenry County Courthouse to appear for sentencing or something, having been assigned a public defender because of my financial status. And I was talking to my public defender when an elderly bailiff walked up and tried to grab the hallway phone from my hand. I pushed his hand away, and apparently he scraped it on the wall, causing it to bleed. He ran back to his judge, Judge Cowlin, the chief judge, and he said, 'Look what Beardsley did to me.' Judge Cowlin responded, 'Have him arrested.' These interactions were described to me by my then attorney, Thomas Gooch. As I was standing in the courtroom hallway, which was very crowded due to all courtrooms being in session, 2 sheriff's deputies approached me and, grabbing both arms, said, 'You're under arrest.' I said, 'What for?' They said, 'Never mind, just come with us.' I said, 'I'm not going anywhere.' They then proceeded to more or less drag me, because I wasn't walking or attempting to, toward the elevator which went down to the jail. When they got me down to the jail, the jailer asked, 'What are the charges on this guy?' They responded, 'We don't have any yet. They're upstairs working on them.' Here I was at the McHenry County Courthouse with all courts in full session with several judges, and now inside the McHenry County Jail, having been arrested without a warrant, without any charges whatsoever. After a time, 5 charges came down for a total of $22,000 bond. It was 3 counts of aggravated battery, 2 counts of obstruction of justice for not cooperating in the booking process, and criminal contempt of court. At the end of trial and conviction, I was looking forward to an appeal to the 2nd District Appellate Court, because I had relied on their interpretation of the eavesdropping law in People versus Klingenberg, which involved an in-custody interrogation similar to my case. They ruled that both parties in the conversation were aware that the responses were being heard by each other and there was no expectation of privacy. But applying Klingenberg to my case, they ruled that I misunderstood what was meant by conversation. Consequently, they affirmed my conviction. My case was appealed to the Illinois Supreme Court. When my case was taken to the Supreme Court, my conviction was overturned on the basis that neither one of the officers should have had any expectation of privacy. The Beardsley decision made that abundantly clear, although in Illinois, subsequent Illinois eavesdropping laws have defined all conversations as being private, no matter the circumstances, a direct contradiction to the very definition of eavesdropping. This, in fact, made it a felony to record a political speech given at an assembly of people. In fact, it was a felony to record anyone at any time. Regarding the boy in Illinois recently charged with eavesdropping for recording an office visit with the principal and another individual, in State of Illinois versus Beardsley, decided by the Illinois Supreme Court, they ruled that there can be no expectation of privacy in a situation where an individual records an encounter with other individual where everyone's presence is known. The fact that an individual records any such encounter is irrelevant to the issue of eavesdropping, which by dictionary definition, as well as under the common law, eavesdropping is to listen in secret to what is being said in private. The boy in Illinois should seek help from the ACLU, because Illinois courts will not be sympathetic to any argument this boy could bring to court." That's it.
Okay. Well, let me start off first and foremost, Robert. there is no doubt that you did aggravate the situation. And, you know, you don't want to annoy a traffic officer because they will get you back. And it's like that one officer who knew you said you've got a valid driver's license. Why not show it? And so I have to tell you, I do think you aggravated that. But getting on back to the cassette recorder, you're absolutely right. There have been numerous court rulings saying that the out in public, the police have no expectation of privacy, and that it is within our First Amendment rights to record police on our cell phones. And obviously that has to include audio recordings as well. So I'm glad that your conviction on that was overturned. But at the same time, you know, I do think you escalated the situation unnecessarily in the way that you responded to the officer's request for your driver's license.
I won't argue with that.
Okay. Well, so basically, what is the status of the case right now? Where are you? Where's it going from here?
Well, my eavesdropping conviction, when it was overturned in '84, that was the law for 10 years. And then until 1984, the legislature, they redefined conversation that it didn't have to be private for eavesdropping to occur. And then the law went along like that until there was other court cases. But regardless, the state eavesdropping law does not conform to the definition of eavesdropping in the dictionary or in the common law.
We've seen a lot of times where the law goes off into its own idea of a definition, and they don't use the dictionary. Basically, they're going to make the law say what they want it to say, and we have seen this battle over the last several years where those in authority are trying to limit the right of the people to record what's going on. Of course, the police have their body cameras that they're using, which always seem to malfunction when the police are doing something wrong. But yeah, it's another one of our rights that's being taken away from us. And they're going to just change the laws to legitimize this idea that we're not allowed to have our own record of what's going on so that we can challenge any possible misstatements made by witnesses and prosecutors. Again, it's another way that we seem to be slipping into fascism in this country. So is there anything else you want to add to your story?
No, it's just very much a learning experience. And regarding those charges of aggravated battery and stuff, they let those go on for about 3 months with different court appearances and so forth. And then at the end of a three-month period, they nollie-pros those. In other words, they just dropped the charges altogether. They didn't prosecute.
Well, I'm glad for that. I'm glad for that. So it seems, given all of the circumstances, that you have escaped relatively unscathed from what was a very complex situation. Anyway, Robert, thank you very much for the phone call and for sharing your story with us. And we're going to let you go here. Move on to some other news. We have to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. And Robert is the brother of a friend, but I have to be honest, he did escalate the situation unnecessarily. And sometimes, yes, you take a stand for what is right and what is legal. And at other times, you just common sense, you go with the flow so that, you know, you don't get into these situations of conflict. If somebody, you know, if a police officer wants to see my driver's license, I'm going to show them the driver's license. The picture on it's ugly, but I'll show them the driver's license. Okay, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, and we could use some calls to finish out the hour here. Turning to outer space, NASA's Kepler Planet Hunting Telescope is about to run out of fuel. And apparently, the Kepler team received telemetry saying that the fuel tank is very low. And the 9-year-old telescope is now in a hibernation-like state as operators try to download data from it. And Kepler, of course, was the one that went up there trying to see stars that were being eclipsed by planets passing in front of the star, which required the orbital plane of the planets to be perfectly in line with Earth. And I can imagine that there's probably a lot of other stars whose planetary systems were at a high inclination where none of those planets are ever going to cross in front of the star. So as many planets as Kepler found, there's a lot more out there. Now, as you know, Russia and China have banded together for space exploration. It's a cooperation program. And they have decided to add lunar projects. And they're basically looking at a program extending from today to 2022. And they're going to supplement it with projects related to the moon's exploration. This is coming from the press office of Russia's state space corporation, Roscosmos. And I'm glad they're getting back on out there. There's a part of me that misses the thrill of the space program. And I'm not just talking about the part I had in it. I'm talking about, you know, when I was a kid with the days of Mercury. And it was just so exciting. And to see all this stuff coming in from all these satellites. And I understand younger people are a little more jaded about it. To them, it's something that's always been. But I was born before there was such a thing as an Earth orbiting satellite. I was born at a time when a lot of people still believed there was an advanced civilization on the surface of Mars. And to see all these changes that have come about in my lifetime. And just to be particular here, I still see Pluto as a real planet. I'm a stickler that kind of a way. I'd like to see that again. I think it would be a boost to our country. I remember one time when Claire and I were still living in North Hollywood, and we decided to have a star party for the neighborhood kids. And I had a couple of really big telescopes back then. So we had the party, we had some munchies, we had the parents bring the kids on over, and we let them take turns looking through the telescope, and I was showing them Saturn. And I remember this one little girl was looking through the eyepiece, and then she turned to me with this utter amazement and said, "You mean you can see it up in the sky?" Which is, I guess, what we get after all those images delivered from spacecraft. All right, we have a caller, Robert behind enemy lines. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. I was going to leave you alone today, but you said you wanted somebody to call to finish out the hour.
I was expecting this third hour interview to go longer, so I could use a few phone calls.
Well, I'm glad I could call to help, but you know the first question I'm going to ask. What do you think of Real Dot Video?
I signed up for a channel. I'm still waiting. It's still in beta, I'd like to see it a little bit more stable, but I am working with it to try and set up streaming as soon as my channel is approved. And at some point I will swap it out for YouTube because YouTube I get nothing but complaints about people trying to watch this show on YouTube.
Yeah, no, it's had its problems, but you know, if we don't get to see you or hear you anywhere else, it's a good backup platform. And you know, actually calling about the economy, I kind of wanted to run something past you. It could be completely a dumb idea, but you know, I think I came up with a way to solve this whole problem.
Which problem would that be?
Well, the entire economic problem of all these countries running out of our, all these companies running out of our country and building their stuff elsewhere, and the ever-rising taxes that are taking money out of our pockets, all of the ways that these corporations are just charging us as much as they want for whatever they're willing to give us. And I think I came up with a solution.
Well, what is that solution?
Well, the first thing is you'd want to put a 100% profit cap on any goods that are sold by an American corporation in America. They're allowed to double their money. It guarantees them a profit. Now, then you put a total tax ban, any kind of income tax, property tax, business tax on any citizen.
Robert, yes? I'm sorry to cut you off. We have to take a break for commercials. Do not hang up. I'm coming right back to you after these words from our sponsors.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're talking with Robert behind enemy lines. We're talking about the economy. And Robert has, he says, a solution to offshoring manufacturing overseas, which, of course, Trump is trying to reverse with his tariff program. Would you restart the list over from the beginning, Robert?
Yes, sir. And in fact, if I do it quickly, I can go ahead and elaborate on each one to give a good bullet point of why it might be a good idea. First, if we put 100% profit cap on any goods made in America and sold in America, then the companies would still be able to double their money, so they'd still make a profit. Second of all, well, okay, let me elaborate on that. One of the biggest reasons for that is it would drive the price of American goods down, so Americans would be buying American goods and promoting more corporations to work in America. The second
Robert, is that most companies in America are operating below a 100% profit margin. Usually it's in the area of 30 to 40%. There are very few exceptions to that. Obviously, pharmaceuticals are a completely different matter. But for the most part, in order to keep prices down and keep selling their products, they do shave their profit margins back a bit.
Well, I've taken that into consideration, and that's part of the reason on the next one in line would be a total tax ban on any household that makes under $250,000 a year. no income taxes, no business tax, no nothing except, well, sales tax. We can't avoid that. That would give the Americans more money to spend in their households to try to keep their household together. And if we were to just tie the trifecta on there by doing a total ban on any American corporation that's making their goods overseas from selling those goods here in America at all, it wouldn't prevent them from selling their goods, but it would make sure that that American money returned home with those corporate billionaires. They could spend it wherever they want, but it would at least come back into our economy.
Okay, I don't see how that last part works, because if they're not selling their products here, if they're selling their products overseas, that money is already, it's overseas. It's not coming into our economy.
Well, no, the product is overseas. If they're selling overseas and making it overseas,
the manufacturing
still adds
jobs
to their company's corporate worth here.
Well, there'll be a little bit of the money coming on back here, but the real value of reviving American manufacturing isn't just that we have the domestic products; it's that we have the manufacturing jobs. That's really where we've suffered the greatest loss from all of this offshoring that's been going on. So. Again, yes, I understand that there will be some money returned to U.S. corporations who are selling their products overseas. I'm not really sure how effective that was going to be. They might decide
Let me
simply
give you one more consideration.
One more consideration. We've got a commercial coming up.
No problem. Do you think that there would be a chance that it would actually drive those American corporations back into bringing their manufacturing here if they knew that the only way they could sell the product here was to have a factory here?
Well, that definitely would work.
I don't think they'd shoot themselves in the foot
and keep
the entire American populace from giving them money.
Yeah, that definitely would work.
That's where I was thinking about it with.
Okay.
It could certainly use some refinement. I just thought that up in 10 minutes, but I figured, well, you know, just in case, I hope somebody really important is listening. Maybe they'll see sense in it and expand upon it in a way that'll make it actually useful. I don't know. You just seemed to need a caller, and I wanted to, you know, feel better about the real video thing. And Mike is still looking for, you know, a lot of the bugs to get removed. They've got about 20-something major bugs and a few minor ones, but they're working on them daily. They're getting it all figured out. And the more we get on there and click on their videos and do the beta, the quicker they get it solved.
Yeah,
so I
absolutely.
Put that out there to
well,
the listeners.
Like I said, once they approve my channel, I'm going to start looking at transitioning over from YouTube.
Well, don't give up on YouTube altogether until we all know exactly where you've gone.
Well, no, there'll be an announcement. I'm hoping that there will be an embeddable player on my website. This YouTube streaming setup doesn't allow me to have an embedded player. You have to click a link and go to a page and click another link, and it's just a real headache. But we'll see what Real Video is going to be working on. Anyway, going to let you go, and we've got another caller waiting on the line. We're going to get to him after this next commercial break. But until the commercial break gets here, another story that just popped up. China, Russia, and the U.S. are all building centers for military AI. Skynet. Boy, James Cameron had that call, didn't he? So Russia and the United States are moving closer to opening their own centers for military-related research into artificial intelligence, as China did in the spring of last year. But the three governments have differing approaches. The U.S. Joint Artificial Intelligence Center aims to apply lessons from an Air Force pilot project to other military services, while the Chinese approach fuses civilian and military research, and Russia's efforts are closely directed from the Kremlin. So we're coming up here on another commercial break. We've got a caller waiting on the other side of the line. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux has really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder, and their lower legs were hurting in a red color, but thankfully, there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And before we take this next phone call, another interesting story just popped up here. Russia Today is reporting there is a computer hacker selling U.S. military documents online because someone forgot to change a default password. And some of these documents for sale include maintenance manuals for servicing MQ-9 Reaper drones, training manuals describing deployment tactics for improvised explosive devices, documents detailing tank platoon tactics, and an M1 Abrams tank operation manual. Now, security firm Recorded Future discovered the documents for sale online and said the documents were being sold for the bargain price of $150 to $200. And it turns out the hacker, who's in communication with the security firm, basically said he'd used a program that scanned the net for Netgear routers that use a known default file transfer protocol or FTP password. And he then used the default password to gain access to the routers, and some were located in military facilities. So, again, never have anything with a default password. And I understand that probably a lot of people may not be using the router's FTP system. They may be going from a software application. But still in all, if you have not changed the default passwords on your systems, you're just leaving yourself open. All right, Mateus in Canada, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Is it a good time to indulge me in some off-topic things?
Yeah, go ahead. Why not?
Okay, in no particular order of importance, the Pirate Bay has a little message on the bottom right now. It says, by proceeding with us, you give permission to mine cryptocurrency on your CPU, which is just a brand new thing. And
I would certainly not go to that site.
Yeah. And then about your AI, sorry, about the military AI.
Yes.
The difference between a computer and a human consciousness is that we can behold or observe or be witness to our thoughts, which is actually another level of awareness. Whereas a computer, when it's doing math, it's not also at the same time observing itself doing math from a third-party perspective and having thoughts like, is this really the best way of me spending my time today? You know, what is my, it's the soul. It's the non-physical, yeah?
Yeah, basically, we had an interview with an expert on AI a little while ago who basically clarified the meanings of the term AI have sort of been changed. Originally, people, would hear AI, they're thinking HAL 9000 or sentient conscious machines. But today, the term simply means any system capable of self-learning. And these self-learning systems probably fail to have any kind of awareness or consciousness. They're purpose-built to go after a specific task. The idea of a sentient, conscious, self-aware system has been given a new name called artificial general intelligence. And everybody's okay. Saying that's still a very long way off.
Right, okay. And another way of saying it is that everything that goes on in a computer happens in the dark, meaning that it doesn't know it's happening. It's just doing it without contemplating that it's doing it. Whereas humans, we operate in the light. We have self-reflection. Moving on.
I want to comment.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, the issue I do have with AI is that you're right. It's operating in the dark, even for the operators of the system. They're running so fast and they're learning so fast that it's impossible for us to really understand what's going on in there. And even worst case, to be able to predict and head off learning something that or thinking it's learned something that's utterly false. And I remember some of the early natural language processing experiments where these systems would all of a sudden start using profanity, which was never intended. And I think it's an area where we have to maintain oversight and control over these systems.
Yeah.
And there has to be a way of double checking that what they're learning really is accurate. It may turn out that these systems ought to be built in threes and the same data given to all three. And you let them vote as to what's going to go on. And see how quickly they diverge.
But the problem with that is that one of them will launch an investigation and blame the other one that they're colluding with Russia. Anyway, so I wanted to mention how the Roman Empire had all these crazy dictators like Nero feeding Christians to the lions, and we had another one that literally marched the army into the sea to battle the Neptune. Before that, it was a republic. And Caesar, Gaius Julius Caesar, the famous moment before he crossed the Rhine River and said his famous saying about, basically, it's up to fate now and we're casting the dice, that was the end of the republic. And it slipped into this military dictator tyranny that ended up destroying itself. And I know everybody knows this. I just wanted a friendly reminder of how fragile our republic, democratic representative republic is. And that when you're born into it, like we all are, we just kind of assume this is the natural order of things. But when you look at all the other countries in the world, it's not even the majority of the natural order of things. And we run a real risk of actually losing that forever. I know everybody knows this, but it seems like we don't think about it very often. And the stakes are really high right now. That's all I wanted to say about that.
Again, all nations go through a life cycle. Where they're born and the people are enthusiastic, they've got a new nation, they work to build up that nation, then you reach a point where they start getting complacent and then apathetic, and that's the beginning of the decline into dependency on the government, which in turn leads to tyranny, which eventually leads to collapse. Now, backing on up to the insane Roman emperors, there's a very, very simple reason for that. During the Roman Empire, the elites used lead for drinking goblets, for cooking utensils. They piped water into their homes through lead pipes. And today, of course, we understand that overexposure to lead can lead to some serious scrambling of your brain.
Yeah, when we had lead in our gasoline, there's even some correlated research suggesting that we were just generally a bit more aggressive, that there was a bit more road rage leading to physical violence until we took that lead out of the gas. That might have also been making these Romans a bit more aggressive.
I remember when I was a kid, I was going through that whole thing where lead-based paint was being banned. And in our home in New Hampshire, the walls had to be stripped and repainted.
Yeah, I'm in the renovations. I have to be careful about breathing lead dust. It's a legitimate concern. Did you see the new Star Wars series called Star Trek Discovery? Star Trek.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, it's really excellent in every way, except it got ruined by the political correctness. And the worst part of it is that you have to watch the engineer and the two main stars in their pajamas brushing their teeth together, kissing each other every once in a while, the two men. And it's just unfortunate that they're forcing it down our throats so hard. And I got to say that, like, I was born into a very open-minded perspective, like, family. Like, I was probably one of the least racist people that you could meet. Like, I was so open-minded. And this culture is, like, slowly trying to convince me to be less tolerant. It's like, I had no problem with the idea that there's gay people kissing until my prime-time favorite shows are forcing it down my throat. I find myself yelling intolerant things at the TV by myself. So
yeah, I've been saying for a long time, you know, the LGBTQ movement has moved from merely wanting acceptance, which they got, into almost this militant idea of wanting to basically do what they do in front of everybody and then wait for a reaction where they can scream you're being intolerant. And I'd heard criticisms of that new Star Trek TV show based on the idea that it was just another liberalist propaganda piece. I'm not happy with that idea. It's not a show I'm likely to watch. And it's not because I'm not accepting of the reality of gay people. It's just I don't need to watch it in my living room.
Yeah, the lead character, like, I still would watch the show because they did such a good job on everything else. The storyline is awesome. It's actually fairly dark, very mature plot lines, which is really good. You never know when your favorite character is going to be, like, brutally murdered and gone for good. It's sophisticated, excellent special effects. It's just such a shame to ruin it like this. But look how politically correct this is. The lead character, which I like, she pulls it off. It's a female black woman who is totally likable, except that her name is Michael, not Michelle, Michael, and they don't give any explanation. It's just a man's name that's just annoying. And then it opens up with the USS Shinzu. And I'm thinking, oh my God, is this going to be like Chinese Star Trek? But they blew that shit up. They blew that ship up in the first episode. So I'm like, okay, thank God, it's not going to. It's actually not like that. And then there's like a surprisingly amount of like over representation of blacks that made it into space. It's kind of funny. It's like the most successful pioneers of space. It's like right out of the liberal playbook. Like, when are we going to get some good old-fashioned, like, representative, Hollywood. We're also getting a lot of Chinese representation in our movies now. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I've noticed that. And again, I think the story should drive everything. And there are some stories where you can't have diversity. For example, Moby Dick. Now, obviously, Moby Dick would never get made today. There are no roles for women. The non-white characters are all in subordinate positions in the story, and it shows cruelty to animals. And that's how ridiculous it all becomes, because Moby Dick is actually based on a true story. And it's a part of history. But this idea of everything has to go through that liberal filter, frankly, to me, it makes television boring. It makes it uninteresting. And maybe along with just being older and not being able to tolerate those cheap theater seats, Claire and I just don't watch the movies that we used to.
In fact, we're big fans of History Channel and
National Geographic.
Like my mother said, is that the reason you go to the movies, it's an escape from reality. And
yes,
that's why you want to see someone that's more beautiful than is normal. You want to see someone that's smarter and that's stronger and tougher and more creative and more adventuresome. It's an escape thing. And now,
yeah, because you want to imagine that person. And, you know, if you're a straight person and you're watching a TV show where there's a lot of gays running around, you're not going to want to project into them and be that character. And that's going to cut into their audience. The people who are pushing this agenda don't understand the psychology of how an audience relates to the entertainment and what's going on in their head. Anyway, Mateus, we're going to let you go. We've got another caller waiting on the line. So we're going to switch over to Charlie in Los Angeles. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I wanted to say one thing that about Don Trump's foreign policy and his status as the chief commander-in-chief. I don't think Trump has a license to surrender anybody's life in any of the military saber-rattling events he's talking about. He didn't go to Vietnam. Okay, he got out of going to Vietnam because he had bone spurs. You know, and everybody back in that day that was going to college and making money had a letter from their doctor. So if, you know, people that think that Don Trump is a great commander-in-chief, before you join the military, Mr. White Man, when you hear tough talk, and that works well, you know, when George Bush said, bring it on, I knew somebody who joined the Army. I mean, that works well on young white men. So unless you were in Vietnam, you know, you don't have a license to surrender one life in our military. And thank you for taking my call.
All right. Well, you're welcome about that. And I would tend to agree. Back in older times, when those leaders who wanted war would lead their own armies, it was a disincentive to war. People like Alexander the Great or Caesar, Mark Antony, Napoleon. In today's age, the people who want war, they get to stay home. They get to sit in nice bunkers with comfortable chairs, with TV and computer screens all around them. The war doesn't cost them anything on a personal level. And that, unfortunately, makes it even easier for them to send other people out to die in the war. And I think it would be nice if we had more presidents with war experience who knew how bad war could be. I think Eisenhower, because he was the supreme commander of the Allied forces in Europe, was one of the reasons why he became one of our most anti-war presidents. He talked about the military-industrial complex in his farewell address. His Cross of Iron speech is epic. And I think somebody who has seen the horrors of war, they're going to be restrained from inflicting that on other people. Not everybody. I mean, George Herbert Walker Bush served in World War II, but he was all gung-ho for war. So you don't know how people are going to react. But war is a bad thing, and yet we keep seeming to be willing to do it on the orders of our rulers. And again, we're back to that Stanley Milgram experiment. We know war is wrong. We know killing is wrong. We know that torture is wrong. But somebody above us says, yeah, it's okay. All right, I'm going to go ahead and do it. That, to me, is one of the worst flaws in human nature. And maybe in prehistoric times, that was an aspect of our mental makeup that was necessary for us to survive, while all of our competition did not. But I think in the nuclear age, it's definitely out of place. It's definitely out of place. All right, we're coming up here on our last commercial break of the day, followed by the last segment of our show for today. So stay tuned, and we'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, last segment of our program today on this Wednesday. And looking at the corporate media, of course, their focus is totally on the upcoming battle, if you will, in the Senate over Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation. And as I mentioned earlier in the program, the Democrats have come up short on having enough votes to block his nomination. So their new tactic now is they're demanding that the confirmation hearings be held off until after the end of Robert Mueller's probe. And nobody knows when that is going to be. Now, I don't know that they're going to succeed in getting this because right now everybody sees Mueller's probe as a joke. But that's how desperate the Democrats are. So it's shaping up to be a bit of a fight here. Now, over at Judicial Watch, their president, Tom Fitton, in an interview on After the Bell, is saying that Brett Kavanaugh is one of the most conservative jurists in the country. And he is going to swing the court conservative, and he's going to be there for a while. Now, the liberals obviously are terrified about this. They've had a liberal Supreme Court for a long time, which allowed them to basically get some rather unconstitutional things done to this country. But they've had their day in the sun. These things do flip back and forth. It's like a pendulum. The nation will swing conservative, then it will swing liberal, then it will swing conservative. Well, the pendulum is going back over to conservative. It's inevitable. And so there's going to be this huge fight. And again, there is a possibility. Going back to Orrin Hatch's inadvertent referral to the nominee in the female, it may be that Trump is throwing Kavanaugh out there to let the Democrats throw themselves on the rocks trying to block his nomination. And then after that's all over, then Trump may put out Amy Barrett if Kavanaugh is not, in fact, confirmed. So I can imagine that Amy Barrett is feeling very nervous about all of this here right now. But the liberals are still out there about wide open borders, unrestricted abortion on demand, and basically a lot of things that I think most ordinary Americans are not comfortable with. And I got a lot of emails after my comments the other day on abortion, and some of them were saying, you know, abortion is wrong in every single case. And the others were, you know, it's just a blob of protoplasm and it's a woman's right to control her body. Well, it's arguable that it's her body because at least part of that fetus is that of her husband or boyfriend, as the case may be. And one of the issues I've always had with the abortion debate is how women have all the choices and husbands have none, which was an experience that I went through myself. So again, I acknowledge there are times when it is necessary and should be available, but I reject the idea that abortion should be a retroactive birth control for women who are not taking responsibility for their own sexuality. Anyway, there's the music. Time for me to get on out of here. Please stay tuned for John Stadmiller. And I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. Meanwhile, take what you learn here and share it with everybody that you know. Start looking at the new the new social media platforms. Find the one that you think works best and start using it. We've got to get off of Facebook and YouTube and Twitter because they're being turned into Hillary Clinton propaganda machines for 2020. So we'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.